Well, before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update on what's going on in Kenya. We're in the long rain season. It's raining just about every other day and had sufficient and really excess rains for the last month or 6 weeks. And so our crops are looking good. We're going to have a couple acres of maize to harvest and other crops as well. And so we're very blessed in that regard. And we thank you also for the rain here in the U.S. in western Kansas. What a blessing that is. And so we are blessed with rain in both places now, and we thank the Lord for that. We have the children back in school now. They started on Monday, and we have about 30 children in school, various schools, secondary, primary, and special needs schools. And so we're very happy to have them back in school, and that will keep them occupied until about July for the term that is here, and then the last term will be from August until December. So that is what's going on in Kenya right now. A lot of chaos in the country. Won't go into all of that right now, but just we ask for your prayers for the mission, prayers for the ministry, prayers for the people involved. All the people in Kenya are suffering from budgetary constraints, just as they are here in the U.S. There's a lot of economic chaos and turmoil in Kenya due to the inflation that has ripped into people's private budgets and private finances. So that is an issue that has to be dealt with by every single person over there. Well, today I'm going to be deviating just a bit from normal teaching. I'll have a little time of teaching on economy and also on prophecy, because I'm going to give a prophetic dream today of what the Lord has showed me about the economic flood that is coming to the U.S. I've spoke a little bit about this about a month ago, but I think it bears repeating because we see more trouble on the horizon. We see more economic chaos on the horizon, and I'll be going into that here in just a minute. But I just want to give a little teaching before we start on the prophetic gift, because this is all a prophetic gift, what I'm going to be speaking here today. And if you don't believe God's word and you don't understand prophetic gift, I'm not going to go into a deep teaching on that. I just assume the people that are listening to me here today understand that God's word is the final authority in every situation. It's the final authority. The sovereign word of God is the final authority. And so if you believe it, you believe it. If you don't, this is going to be a struggle for you to believe what I'm telling you today. But if you believe God's word and you believe in the prophetic gift, you know that what God has shared with me is valid, and you will know also that it will require a response from you as you listen to what the Lord has given me. Well, in talking about prophecy, we start here in Amos, the Old Testament. We start in Amos 3:7, and it says, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets." And in verse 8, "A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy?" And so Old Testament prophecy, we know most people are in agreement with that, that the Old Testament prophecy given to the prophets, the major prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and the minor prophets, Amos was one of them, Joel, and all of the minor prophets, that is crystallized, it is canonized in Scripture, it is not changed, it is not altered, and that prophecy most people can agree on was the Word of God, is the Word of God, and it has not changed because it is canonized. We can read it, we can look at it on the page, and we can read it and know for certain that that is what God spoke, and know for certain that it is applied to us today. But New Testament prophecy is a bit different. It's more fluid. New Testament prophecy isn't written on the page. It's not in black and white where you can see it and it says, thus saith the Lord. And so New Testament prophecy has to be subject to the prophets. In other words, the prophets listen, the prophets judge each other, and that is the way New Testament prophecy comes forth. It comes forth as the Holy Spirit gives people unction. It comes forth as the Holy Spirit gives people inspiration, direction, counsel, and all of these things. And then New Testament prophecy can also be mitigated and somewhat altered by prayer. And so you have a lot of variables in New Testament prophecy. Prayer alters the outcome, but there are certain outcomes, of course, that are more or less set in stone. There are certain prophecies that reflect the fact that God has spoken and he's not going to change his mind, and there are certain things that are subject to mathematical principles, certain things that are subject to gravity and the principles of natural world. And so this then is also has to be taken into consideration in New Testament prophecy. And so we see in the Old Testament another scripture that refers to the prophetic gift, and this is in the prophet Joel, or Joel, in 2:28. Joel prophesied, and it will come to pass after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on the male and female servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. Well, this passage of scripture was spoken 700 or 800 years before Jesus walked the earth, and it was spoken to show that God knew that prophecy would be poured out, the prophecy would be given, the gift of prophecy would be given to the people of God who received the Holy Spirit in the New Testament days. Well, did that come to pass? Yes, it did. And so that prophecy, we know it is true. That prophecy came to pass in the second chapter of Acts, when Peter was teaching the people on the day of Pentecost. In the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit had been poured out. There was a mighty rushing wind. People started to speak in tongues, and people started to hear the gospel message in their own native language. And so this happened to many people, hundreds of thousands possibly, and they were hearing the gospel message, and so they were speaking in tongues. And so there's a bit of confusion in the crowd there as to what was actually happening. And Peter stood up in verse 14, Acts 2:14, and he says, Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this name be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk. They had been accused of being drunk. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And so Peter referred them back to the prophecy that I just read in the book of Joel, and he then speaks this prophecy in verse 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and even on my maidservants and my men servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so this is an Old Testament scripture, an Old Testament prophetic scripture that we see has now come to pass in the New Testament. And there's nothing, beloved, some people preach and teach that the gift of prophecy and some of the Old Testament gifts have passed away. I don't see that at all. In fact, I see just the opposite, that more and more people are embracing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the New Testament gifts of the Holy Spirit, that more and more people are embracing the fullness of the Holy Spirit. More and more people are embracing the counsel and the inspiration, the advocacy of the Holy Spirit. And so I don't see and I don't subscribe to the secessionist theory that these things have passed away. And so pray about that. Maybe God will give you the gift of prophecy as well. And I'm sure many of you listening today, you already have the gift of prophecy. You're receiving prophetic dreams or visions, and you're understanding what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You're understanding what God's plan for you is as given through the Holy Spirit. And so what I'm telling you today is that the gift of prophecy has been given, and it's given to us, for us, that we can understand God's plan, not only for each of us individually, but His plan for us as a nation, His plan for every person who calls himself a child of God, that they can know and understand the seasons, the times, and the ways of the Lord in their life. Well, of course, we don't know all of the things of the Lord. We only see in part, and we prophesy in part, but it's better to understand a part than nothing at all, and it's better to understand a part, and when somebody else has a part to add to your part, then you start to see the whole, and you start to understand then through the prophetic gift how God gives us counsel, He gives us wisdom. Two of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, and He also gives us prophecy. So there's three gifts there where we can understand God's plan for the future, peer into the future, see into the future, and understand what God is trying to do here on the earth. Well, 1 Corinthians 12:1 is a bit of a teaching by the Apostle Paul. Actually, it's more than a bit of a teaching. It's a comprehensive teaching of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." And then in verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And so that is the reason for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Each person who has the Holy Spirit has access to these gifts. And if you don't have these gifts, ask the Lord to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord for them to manifest in your life. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and you can have as much of God as you want. And so you ask God to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and if you believe, you will receive. If you believe, you will receive. And so that's God's plan for you. It's God's plan for me. I was given the gift of prophecy many, many years ago, and God has over the years blessed me with many prophetic dreams, visions, and instruction and counsel from the Holy Spirit. And so that's what I'm going to share with you here in just a minute. 1 Corinthians 12:10, it says, "And to another the effecting," or the effects of miracles, "and to another prophecy." And so that's the right there, the explanation of one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that is the gift of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Paul goes on to say, "Pursue love, yet desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." And so Paul says that prophecy is the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, the greatest of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And prophecy is given to exhort and to edify and to console. And so prophecy is a very important gift, actually the most important, and so that is the reason God gives prophecy to us, to instruct, to counsel, to edify, to build up the body of Christ. It's not for your individual edification, it's to build up the body of Christ so that the body can receive instruction and wisdom and know what is coming, know how to interpret what is in the present, and also to understand what is past. Well, in March of this year, the Lord gave me a prophetic dream, and so this also is a part of prophecy, dreams, and visions. And as we look back at that prophecy of Joel, he said, your old men will dream dreams. And God certainly does that with me. Just about every night I get some kind of a prophetic dream. And so in this dream in March of 2023, the Lord showed me that there's an economic flood coming to the United States of America. So I'm going to give the details of this dream. Pay attention, write it down. If you have a piece of paper and a pen there, write it down and understand, pray about it. Maybe the Lord will reveal to you details that he has not revealed to me, but I want you to take this seriously. This could have a great impact on your finances, a great impact on the finances of your family, the church, this nation. And so pray about it and ask the Lord to reveal to you what he has not revealed to me, or in addition to what he has revealed to me. Well, the part of the dream, part one, it has several different parts here. I'm out in the alfalfa field and I'm watching the hay being cut. We have alfalfa hay on my place here in Kansas, and so that is a sense of timing. We always cut the hay around the end of May, around Memorial Day and June 1st, so that's coming up pretty quickly, within 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks of when I'm speaking to you. And so that is the first part of the dream. The second part of the dream, I'm watching a bunch of players play basketball, and they are African American, most of them, and so I understand this to mean the NBA Finals, which also starts around June the 1st. So this also, I believe, is a sense of timing. And then in part three, I'm at a meeting and I'm handed a microphone by a pastor, and I start to sing. I'm not preaching at this meeting. I start to sing the song Oklahoma. Well, I went to school in Oklahoma, went to university, and lived there for a few years, about 7 years total. And so I start to sing Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plains, where the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Well, what was the Lord trying to say through that song? Well, the waving wheat, I believe what he was showing me was the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. The waving wheat in Oklahoma happens in the latter part of May, toward the end of May, first week or two in June. That is the wheat harvest in western Oklahoma, which is the primary wheat growing area in the state of Oklahoma. And so the Lord was showing me here again now a sense of timing. This is the third sense of timing that he's given me in this dream, because I believe the timing of this is what he wanted me to see. And so we see the waving wheat in the latter part of May and June. Of course, here in Kansas, we start to harvest wheat about mid-June to mid-July. And so that is the timing. All three of those parts, one, two, and three of this dream, show the timing to be around June the 1st. Well, in part four, it starts to rain. It starts with just a sprinkle at first, and then the rain starts to get heavier. It's coming down in a downpour, and then eventually in torrents and a deluge, and it turns into a big flood. Well, I believe the Lord is showing that there's going to be a flood of economic situations, a flood of great proportions. The last time the Lord showed me a flood in a dream was right before COVID. Of course, I didn't understand what was happening with COVID. I couldn't see the details of COVID, but the Lord showed me a flood was coming and it was going to engulf the whole world. Well, this is the same kind of a flood. I believe this is going to be a worldwide flood. I believe it's going to have an impact on the finances of nations all over the world. And so the rain turns into a flood, and then I see parts of the local community start to wash away. I had a walk-in cooler behind my store years ago. I had a walk-in cooler, and I see the floods start to wash that walk-in cooler away, wash it off its foundation, and wash it down to the bottom of the hill near Elmwood Park. And so that was a tremendous flood that washed that thing away. Then at the same time I'm seeing it wash away, I'm seeing our duka. We have a store, we call it a duka, over in Kenya, and I'm seeing that store wash away. I'm seeing the articles that we have for sale. We have salt, sugar, and soap and tea, all that kind of stuff for sale. And we also have a set of balance scales in the store where we weigh out. We buy a 50 kg bag of rice or 50 kg bag of sugar, and we weigh that out into smaller packages like half kg or 1 kg, so we can sell to the villagers. And these scales we bought when we opened the store a couple of years ago, and the scales are nice brass scales. And so the Lord takes me over there and he shows me that these scales are washing away too. And I exclaim to the lady who runs the store, "And the scales are gone too," or "the scales washed away also." And so the Lord is showing me that the scales are gone. And those of you who know your Bible, you understand that when you start to talk about scales and economic balance, that you're immediately taken to Revelation chapter 6, verse 5, which is the most profound, I guess, and startling scripture in the Bible regarding scales, regarding economic balance. Well, I'm going to read that to you now. Revelation 6, chapter 5. This is the seven seals. And in verse 5, "And when he broke the third seal," that is, when Jesus broke the third seal, "I heard the third living creature say, 'Come,' and I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand." And so the black horse comes out, he's got a pair of scales in his hand, and so immediately you know he's preparing to talk about economic balance. Well, in verse 6, "And I heard, as it were, a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" Well, that is the black horse of famine, it's called, one of the four horses of the apocalypse, and he's called the black horse of famine, or some people call him the black horse of inflation. And what he's saying is that a quart of wheat will sell for a denarius, or a day's wage, and 3 quarts of barley will sell for a denarius, or a day's wage. Well, if you compute the price of grain now, what we're paying, or even what we paid a few years ago for grain, you can see that a quart of wheat for a day's wage is a tremendous inflation. And that's where we're headed, beloved. That's where we're headed. And so when I said to Millie, the lady who runs the duka, when I said, "And the scales are gone too," I'm asking her about the balance, or the economy that is in the duka, the balance that we have. And this is how every business operates. You have to get money in as you give product out, as you give service out, you take money in. And so this exclamation that the scales are gone to me means that the economy is shattered, that there's going to be a great disruption, a great calamity in the economy, an economic flood that is going to wash a lot of businesses away and people's personal finances away. And so this is going to be a great shaking that is going to shake the whole world. Well, the last part of the dream, I go down to the bottom of the hill back in the local community again. I go down to the bottom of the hill. I look for that walk-in cooler. I don't find it, but I go into a horse paddock, and the Lord takes me into a horse paddock, and there are some horses in there. One of the horses is the big black horse. He's in his stall. He's not out. And so the Lord is showing me that we're not in Revelation. We're not in the time of the tribulation or the great tribulation. These are just birth pangs that have to do with economic calamity, birth pangs that have to do with the poor choices and decisions, the great debt that we're carrying here in the United States. And so we have a situation that has been brewing here in the U.S. for many years, and it hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's gotten much worse. And now, to add insult to injury, banks are starting to take bankruptcy. Many in California in the last month have taken bankruptcy. And also we have a debt crisis coming up, a decision for the Congress to deal with the debt ceiling, deal with the debt crisis. And so this could also be contributing to the economic uncertainty and the economic collapse. Well, I'm going to leave it there. I'm running out of time. But I want you to pray about it. It's coming. The timing, and you heard the dream that the Lord has given me. Pray about it. See what the Lord says to you. Maybe He will reveal something to you and give you wisdom on what you can do to safeguard your finances, to safeguard your ability to buy and sell. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for all the many years and for the supporters. We invite you to support this ministry. Invite you to sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and the Lord will bless you. The people in Africa will be blessed. You will be blessed. And so we thank the Lord for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.